If I were your program director, I would fine you every time you make a reference to a Pennsylvania high school.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that horse's ass will be with us in 10 minutes. Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker. Yeah.
Odyssey NFL Insider joins us every other Tuesday, and he will join us at noon. We'll sorry, at 11. At 11 in 10 minutes.
If Evan was gangster, he'd play that audio of you saying that.
Saying what?
He's a horse's ass. And then you'd be like, I was just playing, Ross.
Well, that's the way it would come down, because I was just playing, you know.
Scared of Willard.
Don't forget, Ross gives me more grief than I give him.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about this idea that I have about the Niners?
Well, boy.
And the Golden State Warriors made a ton of playoffs in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And there was always a thought that maybe those extra long seasons took their toll. And I'm just thinking, so if you've made the championship game 4 out of the last 5 years, like I'm looking at their guys like Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
Like he's played 12 playoff games in the last 5 years. Trent Williams has played 9 playoff games in the last 3 years. Is there any George Kittle has played all 12 games in the postseason the last 5 years. And I'm just wondering if stuff's just not catching up to him right now in terms of just the wear and tear over the last few seasons with these guys having to play into January and February. And I get it. It's the NFL. Yeah. But 12 extra games in the last 5 years, that's not nothing. No. That's not nothing.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not, Stoney, but like you said, nobody, everybody has issues. Nobody outside what? The Chiefs have played as much playoff football as the Niners during this run that you talk about. But at the end of the day, this is what training camp is for. This is what the off season is for, your rest. You know, you try to put all kind of good stuff into your body to get ready for this long haul. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, especially a guy that doesn't play, that watches the game eating cheese and chips with the remote, that there's nothing to that. But no excuses, right? You got to go out there. It's a game of attrition.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. But there is the reality of just, you know, the toll it takes on players' bodies, and they've played as many playoff games in the last 5 years probably as any team out there, and yeah, their roster's getting a little bit up there, certain players for sure, and just throwing that one out there
and I
to figure it out.
Yeah, Stoney, I can't get out of my mind. You know, we talk about, you know, I called Mason baby Marshawn Lynch, and that's just a compliment because he runs hard, but McCaffrey also runs hard, and I'm just remembering him running on the field even last year in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Stoney, he got 3 or 4 dudes on him, and he always meets that intensity with intensity because he's in such good shape. But it's like, damn, I marvel at him, like, how are you holding up? And
see, I look at McCaffrey as a guy who avoids more tackles than Jordan Mason. I feel like McCaffrey's really good at,
but it's those gang tackles, Donnie. You are right. It's once the guy's getting you, and then here comes the rest of everybody to jump on you. That's what I see from McCaffrey a lot, the gang tackles.
Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hey, Will, how's it going, man? What do you think's going on with the Niners?
Willie.
Well, good to talk to you again.
Thanks.
Always nice talking to Steiny and Guru. You know, I was, watching another show yesterday, and they had mentioned that play where IU could run free.
Yes.
And Purdy couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also came to find out that by design, IU could improvise and saw, you know, the grass up ahead was empty and took off. Well, Purdy is, if he's a system quarterback, he's the ultimate system quarterback. And he didn't see him, but he wasn't supposed to see him. And it just brought a thought to my head about Patrick Mahomes and that offense they run at Kansas City. And it's almost like they have a playbook one and a playbook two. And when all hell breaks loose and they're breathing down his neck, it's like he morphs into this different quarterback. But the key is, this isn't just, you know, playing sandlot football. It's like these receivers, especially Kelce, they know the spots or where to go. It's almost like an alternate playbook,
right,
that they go into. But it's not random. It almost seems like it's something that's rehearsed or practiced that they know. But my point being, I don't think Purdy has that playbook number two. Or if he does, I mean, he was improvising, but he was just scanning that whole field. But I think, you know, in Kansas City, it's by design.
Yeah, thanks, Will. I know what you're talking about. It's when a play breaks down, there seems to be an unspoken communication between a great quarterback and his receivers once everybody knows that the play is broken down. And the Chiefs are obviously great at that. And Mahomes has an incredible relationship with Kelce, and they just seem to be on the same page. And Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy have been on the same page in the past. It just doesn't seem like they are right now. And yeah, I think all 49er fans are just hoping it's a function of Ayuk missing training camp. But you can't deny that it feels like there's something more going on with Brandon Ayuk. I don't want to guess what it is, but he doesn't look like he's playing with a lot of passion either.
That's concerning. I don't know what's going on, you know, upstairs with Brandon Ayuk, Stoney. Like I said, I felt like, I just felt like he won. He got paid. He got paid handsomely. So I don't know what the ill will could be, but maybe if you had brought this up or alluded to it yesterday, but I will say this about the caller's point. I think Brock Purdy's doing that when the play breaks down, and a lot of times Juwan Jennings is on the other end of catching passes that way. Like, that rapport is there. So, you know, I would just say that's a Ayuk problem. It's a Niner problem also. But damn, Stoney, there is a price to pay if you're not at OTAs and you're not in camp and you and the quarterback's doing his part. And I do know he missed him. He was open. It was off script. But, I mean, it's got to get fixed sooner than later, because right now it looks like to me, partner, and that's why I brought up you had the ball against Minnesota down six. That was the drive that didn't result or culminate in any points. You had the ball 24-24 against the Rams. Forget everything that's happened. You're tied. Let's go down there and Joe Montana and get in field goal range, bleed the clock, and get out of here with a win. That didn't happen. So at the end of the day, partner, something's got to give. And what if the defense doesn't get rectified? Defense is your offense. You got to put up more points. And you scored 3 points against the Rams last week in the fourth quarter.
Well, maybe that's the issue. The issue is that right now, with all these guys hurt on offense, they don't have the firepower to score 30 points with this team right now.
But if one guy catches a ball, let's just forget his name, you know what I'm saying, Stoney, then everything, maybe they can.
What do you mean?
If Bale catches that ball, you know, they got more points on the scoreboard, but maybe we're not looking at their – like, I don't look at their offense restricted. Even though they're missing some heavyweights, missed opportunities.
See, I feel like in the NFL, like, there are plays to be made every week. And a guy either makes the play or he doesn't make the play. You look at the Eagles game the other week. Saquon Barkley drops a ball, and Atlanta comes, drives the field, and scores the winning touchdown. So those are the plays that you have to make. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about football. With 17 games, and every game's pretty important compared with the other sports. I mean, Ronnie Bell he's got to catch that ball. Yeah. And one of the reasons the 49ers lost was because he didn't catch that ball. And another reason the 49ers lost is because they gave up a long punt return at the worst possible time. And they lost because their defensive backs got beat, and one resulted in a long penalty, and one resulted in the Rams getting down close to the goal line on Charvarius Ward. And they lost partly because there is no impact right now that the defensive line is making. So there are a lot of issues right now with this team.
Those are heavy,
but,
too.
I mean, they just don't – they haven't made any plays. Or a lot of them, or enough of them. Jeff's in Rhode Island. What's up, Jeff? How you doing, man?
Hey guys. How's it going? I know I've been listening the last couple of days, and I know, first off, with Sunday's game, I feel so horrible for Jennings, because that was his That was his breakout game, and he should be getting flowers. And all we're hearing about is everything else. And I've heard about the play calling. I mean, we were getting over 6 yards per play, so it can't be the play calling. My concern is, and it's always been this way, is third that defense, and especially third downs, when you're getting third and longs, and we're still giving up first downs. And it's like we've got playmakers. First off, the pass rush isn't getting there. Yep. We're not causing big plays, and we've got holds like at every level. And I wonder, is Greenlaw such a big loss that like things like that he's one guy with Warner kind of piecing everything together, and it's saving some of the holes. They're blocking up some of those holes that we do have.
He's that good, Stoney. I'll say that. So I'm not. There's more going on, but he's that good, and that's why I was worried from day one when we talked about Niner football in 2024. About this unit being as dominant as it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Was.
I mean, they don't look dominant at all. They look like a run-of-the-mill defense, the San Francisco 49ers. They look very run-of-the-mill. They have no explosion on defense. They haven't. What's the biggest play they've created on defense so far? Warner's touchdown saving.
Or his fumble against Breece Hall. Remember, he punched it out on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. All right, let's. On the line is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day delicious. Hey, just full disclosure, Ross, I called you, and Ross comes courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands? I called your horse's ass, Ross.
Why did you say that?
Because they came back in with that sound drop of you saying, all you want to do is talk about basketball. And then I said, well, that horse's behind's coming up in 10 minutes. We can talk to him, so. Anyway,
Big Roth,
how's it going, man? Hey, by the way, I gotta tell you, and I mean this sincerely. I watched the whole Colorado State game. You were on it.
Yeah,
you're pretty good. You're pretty good. You've got
told you that, man.
Yeah, you've got that little.
Where you been? I've been good.
I've been telling him, Ross. I told him you had skills.
Hey,
man.
You know what? Honestly, Ross, I've only started really watching a lot of college football this year because I got a vested interest in Tulane. But no, I watched the whole game, and you got that little knack for kind of knowing what to look for before the play, develops. So no, real nice job. Dead serious.
Oh, man, Steiny, that means a lot. I put a lot of time into it. I actually just got home to Pennsylvania after doing Bills Jaguars last night on the radio for Westwood One, which was a total no-show by the Jaguars. I was not expecting that. That's always a bummer for a broadcaster, right?
Yeah.
I always tell people, you know, I would do the close games for free. It's the blowout that they got to pay me for, and last night was a blowout.
Ross Tucker joining us on 95.7 The Game. Ross, the Niners now 1-2. Now they've got some injuries piling up. What have you noticed is a big area of concern for them if you had, to list a couple?
You know, I got to be honest with you. The thing that jumped out to me the most watching that game on Sunday I still don't think we give Brock Purdy enough credit.
Mm.
You know, those touchdown throws he made, some of the things he did in that game with his legs, you know, not having Debo or Kittle or McCaffrey and able to, you know, have Juwan Jennings have that kind of game. I'm just very, very impressed, again, by Brock Purdy. I think, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, he's a product of that system and all the talent around him, and I get that, but I don't know. I thought he kind of showed on Sunday that he's not. I mean, really, I thought the defense let you guys down in a major, major way. The defense, no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua, two touchdown leads. I feel like the Niners defense needed to perform better than they did in that game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ross, and I know you played the game, so who better to ask than you here? A lot of people are mad here in the Bay, fans, at Brandon Ayuk because of the deal and how it went down in the offseason. He went public, and he hadn't been producing or putting up, you know, numbers. But I'm looking at the defense like you just echoed, and am I wrong to just look at Bosa because he's the highest-paid defensive player? I know it's first-year defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen, but am I wrong, Ross, to put it at the doorstep and the lack of pressure that the Niners are having in two games? Is that on Bosa just by himself? How do you answer or respond to that?
Yeah, no, it's not just on Bosa, but that is part of the pressure that comes along with having the contract that he has. You know, you've got to deliver when you are making that much money, and he hasn't always been able to do it. Now, he does draw a lot of attention, and that's why they try to make sure they always have somebody pretty good opposite him, somebody pretty good inside, because you have to assume that Bose is going to get a lot of double teams, a lot of attention, and the idea is that you want somebody else and really multiple other guys to be able to win their one-on-ones, and I would argue especially against that beat-up Rams offensive line, they weren't able to do that nearly as consistently as they needed to, and I thought that was probably the most disappointing thing in the game if you're a Niners fan.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Trent Williams has not been too good either the first three games. You played offensive line. Now he's 36 years old. Missed training camp. Is that how important is training camp for an offensive lineman, even for a guy like Trent Williams?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I haven't sat there and, like, watched the end zone copy of every snap so far, but I've seen him still do some very impressive things. And I don't know, Sonny, I could almost make the opposite argument that at his age, it's maybe almost better to skip training camp. I mean,
gotcha.
You certainly want to do something, but I think you want him as fresh and as healthy as possible for the season. And, I mean, that first game against the Jets, it looked like he hadn't really missed a beat with the way he was playing. I thought he played pretty darn well. So I would say Trent Williams is probably low on the list of Niners issues. I'd be more concerned about McCaffrey, you know, supposedly being in Germany because of this injury he has. That doesn't sound real good to me.
Right. Now, Ross, that's where I was going. What are your spidey senses? Like him in Germany, does that make you feel more, you know, if you're a Niner fan, worried about the possibility of him coming back? Because to me, I'm like, man, he's out there really searching, you know, for an answer to a serious problem.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they call it. I don't know if it's like stem cells or there's a certain way in Germany that they can spin your blood to help it heal faster that I guess is not approved in the United States.
Mm.
And so I think back in the day, Kobe Bryant went over there and did it. And so I guess if I'm a Niners fan, I feel good about the fact that Christian's doing everything he possibly could to get back out there and to be healthy. I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, the guy's already made a lot of money. You know, the fact that he's flying to Munich to try to potentially get this thing healed so he can come back on the field this year for your team, he didn't have to do that, you know? I mean, I think that says a lot about him. So I guess I feel good about that part of it, but probably bad about the fact that he needs to do that part of it, right? Like that, you know, whatever's going on with him is not healing fast enough or not going to heal fast enough that he feels like he can get back in an appropriate amount of time just by doing traditional or more traditional methods here in the United States.
Ross Tucker joining us on 95.7 The Game. Is there any way to determine whether or not, or even if it's a factor? You know, I'm looking at the 49ers game log, and they've been at 12 playoff games in the last 5 years, and a lot of their big boys have played that many games in the last 5 years in terms of playoffs. Any chance that the wear and tear of being in the postseason every year could catch up with the player?
Absolutely. Yep. And I think that's the biggest thing that sort of may prevent the Chiefs from three-peating. You know, we talk all the time about when running backs have like 300 touches or whatever, 400 touches in a year, and the next year, you know, there's usually a significant decline in their production because of how many touches they got and the wear and tear. Well, teams like the Niners and the Chiefs, they played a lot of games. I mean, first of all, last couple of years, they played one more regular season game than we ever used to before. Then they've been playing a bunch of playoff games that has to take a toll. I mean, not only is it more damage to your body, more wear and tear, a longer season, but it's also a shorter off season. You know, it's kind of two negatives when you're playing into February like they have been.
Hey, Ross, let me ask you about what happened in last night in Cincinnati as the Bengals dropped to 0-3, and it looks like a star was born. That's too soon for Jaden Daniels, but he looked the part. And then I'm looking at Philly and Dallas, like, oh, boy, I don't know. Who surprised you, and who are you worried about most after 3 weeks?
Well, I guess I'm surprised the most probably by the Vikings. You know, I was not ready for that at all. You know, I mean, I thought they'd be pretty clearly the worst team in the NFC North. You know, I thought it'd be Lions and Packers at the top, probably Bears around 500. Vikings moved on from Kirk Cousins for Sam Darnold. They had a rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. You know, they moved on from Danielle Hunter. I mean, the Vikings have been the best team in the NFC so far this year. And I certainly wasn't expecting that. I don't know if it will sustain, but it certainly is very much a feather in the cap of not only the head coach, Kevin O'Connell, and Darnold, but they have the best D coordinator in football right now, Brian Flores.
Hey, Ross, I know it's early, but the 49ers are 1-2. Seattle's already 3-0. If you were a 49er fan, would you start getting worried right about now, or is there still time to turn this thing around and correct? Are some of the things that they're experiencing correctable?
There's still time. I think that, you know, I don't know that the Seahawks will go to Detroit Monday night and win. And I think, you know, the Niners, there's a decent chance they will. So I just think, it's a little too early. I think with the 17-game schedule, that spreads out a little bit more. It's not really about, you know, necessarily whether the Niners win or lose. I just want to know when these guys are coming back, you know, when they're going to start to get these guys back. Because even just getting one of them back, Kittle, Debo, or C-Mac, and, you know, and then getting two of them back makes a big difference.
Ross, you know, the guys coming back play offense. And last year, Steve Wilks was under fire pretty much for the whole season. He lost his job as defensive coordinator. Now Nick Sorensen, I know it's only three games, but would you tell Niner fans not to panic because of what you're not seeing from the defensive unit as a whole thus far?
No, I'd be concerned about defense, especially now that Javon Hargrave is out for the year. I mean, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. He's their best interior pass rusher. So I would definitely be concerned right now about the defense, because any interior push is super important. Obviously, Armstead's now with the Jaguars. Hargrave is out for the year, and so they're lacking the horses inside.
Ross, thank you very much, man. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Always great talking with you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Ross Tucker, and that was an Odyssey NFL Insider call by Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Yeah. And I know you looked at me early on when I said Hargrave. I've been hard on him, and I'm not the only one. But I've been hard on him because he has set a standard. He was a baller in Philly, and he was doing his job, you know, up until the playoffs last year. But, Stani, now that you don't have a guy like that to even say, all right, change it around, let's go, get on your horse, Bosa needs you. I mean, I know it's New England this week, but good God, moving forward, I mean, Lynch is going to have to be busy, or do they have the guys on the roster now to step up and even attempt to fill those shoes? Because if the answer is no, and we didn't like what the D-line was doing with Hargrave, imagine it without him.
I mean,
man,
it's not, but here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, everybody's been critical of Hargrave this year.
Everybody can play better.
Right. Well, the point is
now that he's gone.
Right. So you don't have to replace a guy who's playing at the top of his game. You can't rip a guy, not you, yeah, but you can't say, oh, this guy's having a bad year, he's not doing anything, oh, we lost him, now we're in trouble. If he were playing like he played probably the first three or four games of last year, I could see that. But every football person in this, you know, that I've heard saying, you know, Hargrave hasn't lived up to the contract. So I'm not saying he's not a good player, but I think replacing him, obviously, it's got to be done,
yeah,
but, I mean, it's not like they're...
With who?
That and
I have no idea.
Well, but, like, one of the issues for the Niners is depth. So losing a front-end piece, no matter if they're good or bad,
right, but when
probably hurts you, right?
Yeah, of course. Right. But when your front-end players are not, like, it would be easier to replace Nick Bosa right now because he hasn't given you the production in the last three games. I'm not saying you're better without Hargrave, but if this team were 3-0... Then it would be a problem, because obviously he'd been a big part of contributing to be a winner. But they haven't, nobody's been playing well.
Right, and he was one of the guys that, you know, he's played in the Super Bowl. He beat you to go to a Super Bowl. He was one of the guys, Stani, being proactive, that when they're on their game, they're a problem. So now that you don't even have that in the equation, it's to Evan's point, what's behind it? And with him, people have saying, what's going on with this defense? My goodness, this is a big deal. And that's why I was saying, if the answer is not on the roster, Lynch is going to have to be busy, because again, I keep bringing up New England and Brissett and whatever, but who knows if you give somebody all day to throw back there? Cause that's what they've been doing.
From the 5-3-0. Yeah, you're right. Right. Is there still time to turn it around? Might have been the worst question you've ever asked, Steiny. Yeah, I agree. That was a bad question. It's a real bad question.
But the question really meant, how concerned are you? And he said he's concerned about the defense.
No excuses. Speaking of the defense, this is Brian Baldinger on with the morning show, and he was talking about Nick Bosa.
He hasn't done much. I mean, you know, if Nick was on this call with us right now, he'd tell you he has to do more. He'd be honest with himself. You know, you're going up against guys that you should win against. You know, I mean, Lark Jackson is a guy that, you know, he's paid, and he's a former defensive player of the year. You want to win in those one-on-one battles. Now, I'll give Sean McVay credit and, you know, their offense line coach. I mean, they doubled him. They knew exactly who to double on every protection when they wanted to go deep. They chipped him. They slid to him. I mean, he wasn't getting easy one-on-one rushes, but he knows that. He knows he still has to defeat that stuff. But these chips and the way that they use their tight ends and the running backs, especially Kyren, to go over there and just give a shoulder here and there, I mean, they were very, very adroit at protecting Stafford to be able to take those shots.
That was Brian Baldinger from the morning show.
Man, I appreciate the honesty from all those guys. But Baldy, Stani, he ain't doing much. It's got to change, and I'm wondering, when you were as big physically, you got the talent, you got the defensive player of the year trophy at the house. How much are you dependent on the D coordinator to help you get out of this funk, if we can call it that? I don't know.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, Bosa was the guy last year who talked about scheme.
We see him line up in the same spot. I'm just, do you think about moving him, Stani? Or he needs help.
Yeah, but, you know, that's always a chicken and the egg thing with a superstar type of player. You know, if he gets the help, then the other guys have to step up, and maybe nobody's reacting well to that challenge.
Because you look at the quarterbacks that can carve you and are at their best when there's no pressure on them. Geno Smith looks like a Hall of Famer when there's no pressure on him. Kyler Murray, like that's the frustrating part to watch. And under Kyle Shanahan, for the most part, you know, a la the early years, Stani, they get after the quarterback and make Sundays, whenever they play you, 3 hours of hell.
Yeah. Javon Hargrave, Shanahan broke the news yesterday. Take a listen.
I mean, it's a big one, and I thought he had his best game yesterday. I thought he was a huge factor. Really affected the quarterback in that game, and you know, it's a big loss. And he's one of our better players, and he's definitely going the right direction. He's going to have a big year.
I mean, forgive me, but how did he affect the quarterback in that game?
Well, they said there were some pressures.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you think there was pressure?
I read Matt Barrels in The Athletic. He thought he had his best game of the year, but I was...
Right, but I'm just saying...
That's how low the bar was, but, you know, pressures can get lost, Donnie. Like, I'm like, hell, he wasn't Jerome
Come
Brown.
On, man. Yesterday we were talking about how Stafford was just standing back there and had all day.
Evan, I'm just hammering the point that's a big-ass loss.
How did Hargrave affect the quarterback is what I'm asking. That's what Shanahan said. Can somebody explain that to me?
Oh, and I was just
telling you. How did Hargrave affect Matt Stafford?
I think he was alluding to some of the pressures that he had on Stafford at times.
I didn't see a lot of pressure.
I got you.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. 888-957-9570 is the number. We started the show asking what's wrong with the San Francisco 49ers. And there's a lot of different answers to it. And I'm asking 49er fans, what's going on with this team, do you think? And do you think it's temporary, or do you think this sets up where they may have some issues all year long? I think they're, you know, it's going to be a grind. I think we've already seen that, and they're banged up, and they got to get over this hump and get guys back and healthy. We'll find out about McCaffrey in a couple weeks. Debo's supposed to be back in a couple weeks, so.
Uncle Mooney coming
we'll
for
see.
Me real quick, Stani, saying all the great ones get doubled. Guru, come on, man. Bosa doesn't need help.
I don't know how to respond to that. I just know that, you know, a couple years ago he had, what, 20 sacks? Last year at about 10? And I'm just wondering why. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is interesting. Kyle Shanahan was asked about his late-game clock management. Of course, the 49ers got the ball late in the fourth quarter of that game and ended up giving it back to the Rams. Take a listen.
I think it is the thinking. It's not the number one goal. The number one goal is to try to win the game right there, which I believe we had every opportunity to do. But that's why we didn't get in the 2 minute on that second. And I think it was second and six. We threw a curl route to BA, and we huddled up after it. So that was totally the thought process. And then the next down, we had an incompletion, and then we had a drop. And then it was third and 10, and they had one timeout left. So by that time, then it's over. You got to move the chains, or they're going to be able to use their timeout and go. And Brock ended up scrambling on us, so we had them use their timeout. But there wasn't a time that we could run out the clock. Obviously, we didn't get it done to make the catch. And, you know, you could come out and run it the first couple of downs and things like that. But we were trying to win it with that in our mind. And that's why when we were in bounds, that's why we huddled up and didn't go into two-minute mode.
All right, that's Kyle Shanahan saying that's why he did it.
Yeah.
And that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm up here questioning. No, I just pointed out that they had the ball in two games in a row where money drives, but that's where, you know, that's where you feel the effect of no Kittle, no McCaffrey, right? No Debo. So if you want to come in and close the door and say, I'm trying to give you an excuse, that one would work. But it is funny, Stoney. You dominated the Rams everywhere but on the scoreboard.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously the loss of Kittle hurts, both the run and the pass game. You're missing Debo, who's probably your most explosive player. They've got more injuries than that now they have to deal with. So where do they go from here? Let's go to Chucky in Oakland. What's up, Chucky? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Good morning, man. Always enjoy you guys.
Thank you.
You know, you guys get me through my week, man. Every week you guys get me through the week, man. I appreciate you for that, man.
Thank you.
Right on.
You know, the Morning Roast, man, they got this caller named Tawny, man. She be calling in. She called in, you know, and she spoke on the same thing up what I'm speaking on. You know, and she loved Bonte, man. But she said, you know, and she got that kind of voice.
Hey.
You know, like, I don't eat sushi, man, but Tony, she can talk me into trying some sushi, man.
All right.
Hey, but this is it right here. I think that, after I make this comment, man, I got a question for you guys, for both you guys. My comment is that I think it's Shanahan. And the reason why I think it's Shanahan is because I think he lost a post, you know, on the locker room. I think, you know, that's why they're playing different, you know, and the defense, I think it's a result of what's going on with Shanahan. I'm not facial expressions on the sideline, his body language, you know, and it goes back to, like, I didn't like how he coached Robin Griffin. I didn't like how he coached Trey Lance. And he definitely did Wolf's wrong, man. You know, he got you guys to the Super Bowl, and you still going to let him go? So when he did that, he let me know that he feel he the one who got the 49ers on the defense side of the ball to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I just think that there's something going on in the locker room as far as with Shanahan. Now, my question is, Guru, I know you're going to give me an answer, man, but Stoney, please, I'm asking you, man, don't disregard the question, man. Can you give me your answer?
All right. I was ready for it. I heard Tony. Tony called Stoney, and she, you know, I'm paraphrasing. She feels like Channing ain't putting out enough juju to rally the troops. But I'm like, just look at the – I'm not caping for him. Just look at the track record. He didn't miss a block in the Super Bowl. He didn't miss a kick Sunday. He didn't drop Ronnie Bell's pass. So, you know, I'm Mr. Emotion. I'm Mr. Emotional, but – I feel like we're grasping at straws. If you're going to call right now and say the reason they're 1-2 is Kyle's not going into Vince Lombardi on the sideline. I don't know how you feel, but that's the last thing on my list. He's been who he's been and has been effective.
I mean, I don't know if he's last on my list, Shanahan.
No, that's the last thing that he needs to work on.
What?
Kyle Shanahan being more rah-rah.
Oh, yeah.
They got more serious issues.
Yeah, I don't think he's not a rah-rah guy. The question that
rah-rah
the caller talked about was, has he lost the locker room? Well, I think it's a little early for that,
yeah.
But we're not in there. I don't know. Maybe he's on to something. 888-957-9570 is the number. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal, 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay. It's presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habaslaw.com.